bother him at all. He's not looking down, trying to catch you slipping up. God's not scoring falls, just the times you get back up. You walk the straight and narrow way, you run the race to win. You struggle for perfection, still fall into sin. You worry that you're wearing a father's patience thin. But really, he just wants to see you get back up again. God's not keeping records on how many times you fall. And even dumb mistakes you make don't bother him at all. He's not looking down trying to catch you slipping up. God's not scoring falls, just the times you get back up. King David saw Bathsheba, lust led to sin. Peter cursed and then denied, he knew the Son of Man. Samson lost his strength when he let temptation win. They all made God's honor roll cause they got back up again. God's not keeping records on how many times you fall. And even dumb mistakes you make don't bother him at all. He's not looking down trying to catch you slipping up. God's not scoring falls, just the times you get back up. And you know something? Sometimes, you know, when you maybe got ready to stand and testify in the house of the Lord or something, maybe you kind of tripped over yourself a little bit, you know, maybe a little timid, a little bit scared. God don't care about that. That's our pride gets in the way about that. You got something you need to say or do for the Lord, you need to get it done. It's important. It's the most important thing you can take care of today or any other day. It ain't about what man thinks about you. Don't try to be a man pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Believe the Lord's report on all things big and small, and he'll help you. Appreciated that testimony. I've grown to love this family right here. Lots of people around this part of the country, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful what the Lord's done for me, for you there. Sister, I'm thankful for that. If my wife will help me, we'll try to sing a song. Will you help me? It's kind of funny. For years, you know, I always said, well, I'm not much of a singer. But I guess this will be the fourth with music. And finally, the devil, let me explain something to you. I want to share something with you real quick. You know, growing up and even sometimes in our adult lives, there are people that tell you what you should be, what you might be, what you couldn't be. You understand what I'm talking about? Some people might have been beat down a lot when they were a child. I know a little bit about these things and told you couldn't do much and you wouldn't be much and different things like this. And it's nothing. I'm still nothing today. I'm just a nobody that loves somebody nobody that knows somebody that loves everybody. That's who I am today. But I was told at one time in my life that I wasn't going to amount to much and different things like that. And as I shared with a rehab group there the other day, and it tore them up. I said, you know what? The devil's got a way of trying to present to you and try to tell you what that you'll be, what your destiny will be. But I'm going to tell you, friend, young and old, God knit you together in your mother's womb with a plan and a purpose for your life. And it comes out something like this. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you about? It comes out giving God, Almighty God, through and by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling Spirit, praise, honor, and glory for who he is and what he's done and the salvation that he brings. So don't let anybody else in this world tell you what you're supposed to be. Let God mold and make you into what you are destined to be. You ready? So my wife told me years ago, she said, I don't sing. And I'll just give you a little. We started singing here a while back. She had a lot of health problems, just through a liver transplant. If she wants to expound on that, she can. But here's the deal. She said, I'll never sing. I can't. I said, you're supposed to sing with me. And anyways, after all this took place, now she's going to give it a try. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful that the Lord has got her to a place in her life where she told me after she got this second liver took hold, She said, you know, Brother Phil, I want to do anything God wants me to do. Anything. Isn't that a wonderful place? That's a wonderful place to be. Whatever God wants you to do, to just go ahead and do it. Don't hesitate. Just go ahead and do what the Lord tells you to do. So let's try this. You ready? We haven't sung but a few times, so just bear with us. The first time my wife sung with me, there's four or five people there. I said, we need to try to sing this song together. And you know what her response was? What are you trying to do, embarrass me? I said, no, I'm trying to get you outside of your comfort zone so God can use you. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? I'm not known in social circles. I have no claim to fame. When important folks are mentioned, you'll never hear my name. But I have an invitation to a banquet with a king. And everyone will recognize me when I lift my voice and sing. 'Cause I'm the one Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary for. And I'm the one He prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done for. And I'm the one He's gonna build a mansion for in glory land. And I'm the one who's waiting for my Lord to come again. I may never make the headlines of the local evening news. You may never read about the things I say or do, but my story made the pages of the greatest book of all, and heaven celebrated with rejoicing and applause, 'cause I'm the one Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary for, and I'm the one He prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done for. And I'm the one He's gonna build a mansion for in glory land. And I'm the one who's waiting for my Lord to come again. And I'm the one Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary for. And I'm the one He prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done for. And I'm the one He's gonna build a mansion for in glory land. And I'm the one who's waiting for my Lord to come again. Yes, I'm the one. And I'm gonna tell you this, I am the one. See, it's personal that way. I'll say this. We need to fall in love with Jesus. Huh? That one that saved us, we really need to fall in love with Jesus. Not the work that He wants us to do, not the church even so much that we attend. We really need to fall in love with Jesus. I always say repentance and faith, and add some contrition in there, some godly sorrow, that'll get you to Jesus. That'll get you to God. When the conditions are right, through spirit and truth, God will save a soul. But I'm going to tell you, friend, always remember, love, we was talking about evangelism this morning, love will take you to men. Always remember that. Your neighbor, that concern for your neighbor and those around you, that love of God that constraineth us, when the apostle said there was a necessity laid upon me, woe unto me, lest I preach the gospel, that love for mankind, that love for God, that love for God will take you to mankind. Before I try to preach a little bit, did you have anything you wanted to testify of? Okay. I'm thankful. I'm thankful my wife's here with me. I had people say that I didn't know you were married, and we had a lot of trouble. Liver internal problems can bring a lot of trouble on people. Sometimes years before things happen, before you get to a liver transplant or Parkinson's, different things that happen in people's life. You can have a whole lot of trouble, and really you don't, it's very confusing. You don't understand what it is. But I'm glad that God, He's an on-time God. He's a very present help in times of trouble. When it looks like there's no way, along comes Yahweh. And He's in the restoration and the fixing business, if we'll let Him do it in our lives. I want to look this morning in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. I'm thankful. You know, I look at our nation today. You know, here a while back, I preached a sermon. I don't know if it was at a church. It might have been at the home church. Somewhere, a lot of people remember the sermon that they preached, Brother Brent, the first one, and what it was. And I can't remember all that stuff. Sometimes I can't tell you what I preached yesterday. But I do know that God gave me a title, a little title, if you will, for that Laodicean church, which I believe is rampant in the world today, the Laodicean church. And I'll tell you why. I believe on the backside of prosperity, on the backside of prosperity, one more time, on the backside of prosperity, you'll always find a Laodicean church. It's inevitable, okay? You can't go any other direction, because now, brother, people got everything that they think they need. They don't cry upon the name of the Lord like they once did. That's why people go to other countries and they go over there and say, hey, these people don't have anything, anything worldly speaking, but yet they have everything. And we see over here that we have everything, yet our spirituality keeps going down and down. We have nothing. Okay? That's why we don't have those shout and tear down services anymore like we once did. Because, see, you got to fall in love with Jesus. One thing I learned from Brother Jerry Reynolds, I've been saying it ever since he died, and I've been trying to pray for his grandchildren. Do pray for his grandchildren. I seen the way the man prayed for my children, and I'm thankful to be able to have the honor and the privilege to try to pray for his children. But let me tell you something. When he said we're praying more saints out of heaven than we are sinners out of hell, he was right. Let's listen to our prayer requests. We need to pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But look, my dear friends, we need a burden for those around us, that we start calling names, that we can get down. And once you get past your own circumstances, then you can start praying the will of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Once you get past your own circumstances, then you can get into that slot where you can pray the will of God. Why? The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, He's a healing God and a God that answers prayers, but the main reason Jesus came was to save you and I. That's His mission. Dun, 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 dun. That's the mission that Christ came for. And no servant's above his master. No servant's above his master. So we have a job to do. We can't save anybody, but we can sure plant and water. I'll say this. I had a wonderful experience the other day. I was having a day, and it was a pretty good day. But little Jamelia from the south end of Columbus, a ghetto area where I was preaching in the summer, called me up, just lit up like a Christmas tree. I could tell in her voice the Lord had saved her soul. And she said, you know what, Brother Phil, he's healing my kidneys. That really made my day. It seemed like not a big thing to the rest of the world, but to me, a place that you labor, a place that you try to plant and water seed, and knowing that you were supposed to be there, and to see God just respond. You know, I believe with all my heart. Listen, friend, you need to really be able and willing to give an answer for the hope, trust, and faith that you have in the Lord Jesus and Almighty God through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? I believe with all my heart. The Bible says, never grow weary in well-doing. God doesn't let you see everything happening around you, because guess what? You might think that you're something. The Bible says, now we see through a glass darkly. God lets you, gives you a little bit of hope there. Say, hey, one called me, little Jamelia called me. Glory be to God. I wanted to shout going down the road. You know, Christopher told me he believes her husband, there's a call upon his life. I'm going to tell you, those are inspirational times for me. And there's people in your life. It's happening too as well. You don't see everything. Like we see tunnel vision, like when we're going through troubles or pains and sorrows of life. The old devil wants to get it to like, you're the only one that's ever happened to. Just you. There's nothing new under the sun, people. Nothing new under the sun. The devil uses the same old tricks. So we need to lift up the name of Jesus that all men might be drawn unto him. I was telling Dr. Mike, I said, you know, I usually preach pretty hard towards service to God. Why? Because it's very much necessary. This is serious times, folks. There's people dying. I buried one of my best friends in the world I growed up with here a while back. Hardest one I ever did. Hardest one I ever did. He was 60-year-old. Me and him was like this. I don't reckon we had a crossword from the time we was little boys. Well, I used to beat him up. His older brother beat me up after he beat my little brother up. But after we got back that little boy stuff, when we become bigger, I don't reckon me and little Phil ever had a crossword with one another. And he was my age. But I'm thankful. I don't preach people into heaven, but I'm thankful he was sending people gospel music at the end of the road. I don't know what it, I never heard him say it to me, but I hope and pray that it happened. It's too late now. Wherever a tree falls, that's where it lays. But I'm going to tell you, there's people dying and going to hell all around us, folks. Huh? They're all around us. We were talking the other day, you know, you think about it. As you get older, death becomes more real to you. I'm sure Doc, he's dealt with it all of his life. Nurses, Sister Susan, my wife. Some people have dealt with death all their lives. You're in the nursing industry or a doctor or something like that. But you know what? It becomes no more real that it's according unto man wants to die and then comes to judgment than when you become an older man or an older woman, doesn't it? Because everybody around you is that age. Your peers, those people around you. It's going to happen, folks. So we need to be diligent about the Lord's work today. It says, moreover, saith the Lord God, verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, this is Ezekiel 36, 16, son of man, when the house of Israel dealt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as uncleanness of a woman, of a removed woman. You know, the Bible says that our righteousness is as of filthy rags. You know, there's nothing good about us, and we need to be careful, even as God's children, not to become prideful in just who that we are. We have to continually have a heart full of gratitude. I heard a guy preach the other day, and boy, it made so much sense to me about having that gratitude in our heart, that thanksgiving. You know, the Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks always, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerns us. It talks about thanksgiving and being thankful in many places. But you know, when you really have that gratitude in your heart, it's a wonderful thing that you're just thankful for your friends. You want to reach out to them. Thankful for the people that have helped you in ministry. Thankful for the folks you stay at their houses, your pastor. And you really cultivate that relationship and esteem them higher than yourself. Because you know what the opposite of being grateful is? He brought it out, and I tend to want to believe it. It goes straight. You'd think it'd be ungratefulness, right? It's really not. It'll go straight to rebellion. You know why? Because next thing you know, people... They think that they deserve something, don't they? Isn't that the society we live in today? People think they deserve something. Huh? We deserve death, but Jesus died for our sins that we might be gloriously saved and to be able to be in his church and serve him. We have the greatest gift ever given. Ever given. We have it. It'll go right on past all that other stuff, and next thing you know, people will be rebellion. What did it do to Deuteronomy? It likens rebellion unto witchcraft. Next thing you know, we find wicked people. Though iniquity abound, the love of many wax cold because iniquity abound. And people seem to like it. It's okay. I seen there yesterday, as I was looking on there on Facebook for just a minute to try to figure something out, and I seen where Ohio State and Michigan, no longer did they win the game, but they had to go rub it in somebody's face. They had to start a little riot on the field. That's the way people are today. unthankful, unholy, away from God. We need to think about things. I look in the mirror. I tell folks all the time, if I want to see something that ain't quite right, when I woke up in the this morning, I looked in the mirror over to Dr. Mike's house, I see something that ain't quite right. Yeah. Yeah. See what it's really all about? I tell people this all the time. Hey, I could have been the president. I say, what's wrong with you, fool? Something happened to me as a young age. Maybe something happened to you. Got you sidetracked. Always remember, 99.9% of grown-up problems, if not 100%, assess yourself. Assess yourself. Do like Michael Jackson said, take a look in the mirror, or childhood issues that have never been addressed. If you don't address that issue and get it under the blood and let the Lord heal you from it, you'll deal with that issue for your entire life. You can't get away from it because there's nothing new under the sun. The devil will bring the same old mess back to you. He'll just come back just like he did with the Lord. Remember, he said, I'm waiting for a more opportune time. Huh? He'll wait till you get down. You might have had sickness in your life. You might have some financial trouble in your life. You know, you might have lost some friends and some relationship. So boy, as soon as you get down and you start feeling a little sorry for yourself, he'll start kicking the guts out of you. You're the only one that's ever happened to, right? Ain't that what he does? He divides and conquers. That's why he says he goes forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. So I say, you know, sometimes people see you in life. I had a guy send me a thing the other day. You know, I used to play a little bit of ball and stuff like that. I don't talk about it a whole lot, but I was fairly good, some thought. I seen where Macon County won their game. They're going to the championship or something. I'm thankful for that. For anybody close or people that I know, maybe have kids there. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I said, you know, people in life, there's all kinds of different reasons why people go in certain directions. Some people you might have thought, boy, that person's really got it together. That running back down there, boy, he's a running machine. He's a running machine. Or boy, he can really put him in the hole. Or he can really, you know, it might not really have to do with anything that he really loves ball so much. It might have to do with some circumstances and situations that he's dealing with that get him to a place of being accepted by other people. Or where he thinks in his mind, in his heart, that he's accepted by other people. See, I'll tell you, that's everybody wants to be loved. That's why the Bible says God is love. You know, I was thinking, what was that, babe, you told me about? Everybody in the first line of their DNA has something about God.
God within eternally.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Everybody in the whole wide world in their first line of their DNA says what?
God within eternally.
God within eternally. God did that. He has set eternity. He's made everything beautiful in his time. He set eternity in the heart of man, but no man can fathom. They can't comprehend what God has done from beginning to end. He's in you. He wants to be in you eternally. He knit you together in your mother's womb. I think about that. All the avenues, all the times, car wrecks, tear up everything, never get a scratch. People say, boy, I sure was lucky. No, you wasn't. The sovereign grace of God gave you another day. Wasn't no such thing as luck. Ain't no such thing as luck. We ain't no leprechauns here. Ain't no such thing as luck. God give people another chance. Why? Because he's long-suffering toward us. How that none should perish. He don't want nobody to die. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I think about that. I don't know how God lets me feel that way about people. Well, I got kids. We got kids that ain't saved. It don't matter to me whose kid it is. Them people on the street, they may just as much as being my kids. When that love of God, when you fall in love with Jesus, I'll tell you, you won't be a respecter of persons. And you won't care what people say.
Just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. He goes to all lengths, reaching out to a lost and dying world, trying to help people. That's what he does. He's in the soul-saving business. I'm glad he is. All walks of life, all different personalities. I told someone the other day, I think little Gavin was preaching there Saturday there, and he mentioned something about jealousy. And the Lord let me expound upon that on the radio program and a little bit. I said, you know what? A jealous man is doubly unhappy. You know that? They are. They're not only jealous of what you got, it's what they don't have. But you know, when you got Jesus now, I tell people, hey, I'm his favorite one right behind you, sister. I don't know how he does this for everybody. I can't figure it out. Can you? Jesus wants to, he wants to make you feel real special. And he will if you let him. When you get to that plan and purpose that God has for your life, don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what they say. I don't care. There was a time maybe when I cared somewhat. But don't get me wrong. The apostle said, I strive always to keep a clear conscience before God and man. But one thing you can be sure of, if the Lord's with you, you don't have to worry about anybody else traveling with you. They'll come around. The apostle said, though none stood with me, the Lord stood with me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you get in the will of God, hey, he'll take you to places. I was thinking the other day, a fellow told me, said he had a near-death experience. My wife had an out-of-body. She needs to be telling that too. I'm going to tell you, man, people, all this stuff's real. This is a spiritual world we live in, friends. This is spiritual. All this is spiritual. But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the spiritual things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So we need to think about things. Don't worry about if somebody makes fun of it. You got to wear your feelings. Any kind of ministry that you're in, you got to wear your feelings on your shirt sleeves. Because the devil's going to try to shut you down any way he can. Any way he can. Well, look at that one over there. Boy, you made a fool of yourself today, didn't you, girl? Huh? I bet you won't say nothing less time. Next time, boy, you hear them people over there laughing in the corner. Wasn't nobody laughing? The devil chirping in your ear. I wrote a song about it one time. Whispering voices will lead you astray. Whispering voices will keep you from the holy way. Whispering voices from Satan below. Whispering voices will keep you from where you want to go, friend. He's a chirper. He's good at it. We don't want to give him any praise, honor, or glory, but he's a chirper. He knows the right time, the right circumstance to distract the child of God. But you know God's faithful. He's always faithful to put people in your life that love you and want to help you. He does. Sometimes it's not in your own family. If you're looking for a lot of honor and glory, or not honor and glory, what I want to say, if you're looking for a lot of acceptance, that's the word. If you're looking for a lot of an acceptance in your own family that's lost, you're looking in the wrong corner. Don't look there. Don't look there. Look to Jesus. Look to God and his people. Huh? You have people that love you. Yeah, some of them, you know, they might not be the same race. They might not be the same color. We was talking about Jesus this morning. What he looked like, I don't know. Kind of looked like me. He's a woolly-headed Jew. No, I'm just teasing. But hey, here's the deal. Doesn't matter what he looks like as long as you know him. Just like I heard somebody say the other day, Brother Phil told me, you know, you got people, because I talk to lots of people in this country, and you know, because of all millennial, premillennial, postmillennial, all this stuff, people break off fellowship with one another. Brother Phil told me, he said, an old boy told him a while back, said, I'm a pan millennials. I said, what is that? He said, I think it's going to pan out just the way the Lord wants it to, and I'm all right with that. Are you all right with that? Hey, why do we want to argue with people over things that don't matter? When God comes in his glory, I believe it's over, but it don't matter how it works out. He ain't going to harm his children. You think when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they come out and didn't smell like smoke, you think he's going to harm you? You're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. Huh. Our God loves us. Yeah. We're the sheep of his pack. Pastor, we're the apple of his eye. Yeah. Yeah, it's the best thing ever happened to me and you and the rest of the world. But it says, therefore I poured my fury upon them. Verse 18. For the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. You know, our land's polluted today. It really is. And I was thinking about that. Where did it come? It comes straight from Hollywood. You see all this stuff about ditting them boys out there now. All this stuff comes through Hollywood, man. The things we like to partake of with our eyes, the things people like to watch, it all come through Hollywood, man. All the evil, and we promoted it throughout the world. Right through, from this country. People love that entertainment. We just love that entertainment. I told some people last week, two or three of them, I said, look, I can take this Bible right here, and I ain't the smartest or sharpest tool in the shed, but I can take this old King James right here, huh? And I can start reading about my Savior and take me a songbook or start singing out of my heart, and I'll have more fun than anybody that goes anywhere in the world. Them people was up at the Horseshoe at Ohio State yesterday. Them people is going to be down at the ball field in Nashville. I guarantee I can have more fun just me and the Lord. Matter of fact, me and my wife driving down the road, we had a blast just singing all the way down the road from Ohio. Had a blast. Isn't that wonderful? But the devil don't stop fighting. When you have a relationship, like, he's going to keep anything to get between you. He don't want you to be in one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord. He wants you chirping over there. You see what that sister had on this? Look, what's wrong with that girl? You see that brother? Hey, look, ain't nobody cares. Ain't nobody cares. God don't care. He's really not. Now, don't get me wrong. There's chastisement of the Lord. But I love that song because God's not looking down trying to catch you slipping up. He already knows that you're going to. He already knows that. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says when a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he fools himself. That's what it says. When a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he fools himself. So we have to really, I always tell people, hey, you know, a lot of them modern ministries, they pronounce these people say, I said, man, if there was 10,000 people in Minneapolis, St. Paul got what I got there on May 6, 2001, we'd wipe Minneapolis, St. Paul out, wouldn't we? In the wintertime even. We'd be marching through the streets if 10,000 people got saved like they proclaim this stuff happens. I hope it does, but I just don't believe it. I can't believe it. There's no witness of it. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. I was thinking when I was coming down the road, you asked my wife, I said, I was thinking about Gab and I was thinking about A. And there was a guy up home that come to the tent revival. I'm always thinking about people that has a call in their life trying to encourage them. I mean, that's what I think about. That's all I think about. Lost people. Encouraging young people. I'm gonna try to record a song on the next CD. Who's going to fill their shoes? Remember George Jones wrote a song, country song, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill our shoes? I don't see a lot of young ones here. Today, a few. Man, in these times right now, this church should be full of people and young people. We're living in perilous times, man. Perilous times. We got a lot of work to do. I can reach people you can't. You can reach people I can't. But I'm going to tell you, these young people can reach other people. We need to really encourage our young people. They've got all their lives, and they've got a group of people right now that's very influential in their lives. We need to really be teaching them and instructing them and helping them get out there to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Who knows where it could lead? Who knows? Only God. I'm about to press forward because I'm not going to get nowhere. I'm going to keep you all day. But listen, we'll jump right on down here to verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. Now, listen. The Bible says that God will take out your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. He can mold you and make you into what you'd have. He'd have you be. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that love for God? I hope you haven't forgot your first love. I hope nobody. But you know, we love God because he first loved us. I hope nobody here has forgot your first love. I listen to people talk sometimes and they talk about things. It's like, come on, man. Where's that desire? Where's that desire? Where's that zeal for the Lord? We need to have that. There's been people, I'm sure, like Brother Buddy was talking, there's been people probably that didn't want to hear, but I tell you one thing, I have a lot of people thank me too for just telling them about that emptiness right here, that emptiness they felt ever since they was a little boy, a little girl. Talk to them about their soul. You'll find you have a lot more success. Just talk to them about that emptiness right there. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. You'll catch their attention. They'll know you know something about them, and they'll listen. Okay? Talk to them about their soul. It works, believe me. I put it to the test. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You know, I was thinking, Brad and I was talking a while back, you know, kind of the biblical idea of when they were going out, you know, Paul went on missionary journeys, and there was always evangelists going out preparing the way before him, and Paul would come behind him and teach him a lot of times, wouldn't he? That's what he did. We can't even hardly get enough finances together to keep an evangelist going, let alone the whole cycle. And we're missionary Baptists. Something to think about, isn't it? Something we need to pray about. Missionary Baptists. Our homeland missions are very, very important, folks. I'm thankful, just like I tell folks all the time, I'm thankful the Lord saved my wife, because I know she's saved. I've fellowshipped with her many times. And I'm thankful that the Lord saved, but I'm not half as thankful that he saved me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm thankful the Lord saves Africans. I'm thankful he saves Jamaicans. I'm thankful he saves Belizeans, or however you say that, Guatemalans. But hey, I'm real thankful he saves Americans. If we don't get things right in America, we ain't going to help nobody. Think about it. We're heading that direction fast, folks. We need to help. We need to help ourselves. I was in the military, United States Navy, 4 years. And I was sitting there thinking, all the money we squander and fool away over there, huh, in other countries. Man, we got so many problems right here. Right here in the good old USA. We need to take care of our country. We need to take care of our churches. We need to take care of our people. It's important, man. People perish for a lack of knowledge from top to bottom, whether it be country, right on down to communities. We're still living a great time of prosperity, man. People got a lot. We're still living it. People have made a lot of money, still got a lot of money in this world, got a lot of things. But listen, and I will put, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What's that big operation you had, babe? You got a Mercedes on?
It was a liver transplant.
Inner liver transplant. My wife has a scar. It looks like a Mercedes Benz. Like literally. Oh, like this. And I was thinking, about killed you, didn't it? About killed her. Hey, look. The Lord did an open heart surgery on me. On May 6, 2001. He took out a heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. No scar. Didn't bother nobody. Matter of fact, nobody in my family even knew about it till after the surgery was over. And then I couldn't help but tell them. Man, something happened to me. Something, well, it happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. So that's the greatest miracle could ever take place. My wife's a miracle. I heard the kidney doctor in when I took her up to Columbus the other day. He said, you're one in a handful. That's what he meant. You're one in a handful that ever survived, that ever will survive. One in a handful. That's five. One in a handful. Miracle. But I can tell you one thing. It wasn't half the miracle that took place the day the Lord gloriously saved her soul. That's a miracle. We want to see miracles. We got to get out and labor that we might see them. The greatest miracle that could ever take place. Wherever you're at your job. Or you get a call from a little gal up off a... said, hey, the Lord saved me. Oh, Lord. It's wonderful. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, I was thinking about that. I might have told you last time I was here, but I've been telling around. You know, Psalm 118 and 8 is the middle of the Bible. And it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And you know what the 119th Psalm says after that? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey the Lord's precepts, His laws, His judgments, His commandments in them 176 verses. God's telling you right in the middle of the Bible, obedience is better than sacrifice. Whatever you do in your life, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, and He'll lead, guide, and protect you through this thing called life. If God be for you, who can be against you? Do you get it? We're conquerors. More than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We're winners. Winner either way, if I go or if I stay. I know my wife would take care of me. She told me one time years ago, she said, I would never let you go to a nursing home, she said, Brother Mike, but you know what? I think about that, I thought, you could let me go to the nursing home. How am I going to talk to anybody at home? You ain't nobody going to come visit you anymore, right? I said, turn me loose in the nursing home, one of them wheelchairs, Brother Ben. I'll be like, I'll get them up in a corner somewhere. They can't get away. You understand? It's a wheelchair ministry. Huh? Think about it. I went up and sung to them people the other day. Sister Wanda, she's 96 years old, in better shape than I am. But your memory ain't good. Went up there and sung probably 25 or 30 songs to them people. Man, I'll tell you, the Lord, hey, He blessed me. He blessed me real good. Four or five of them got together, man. We got to singing and carrying on. Hey, some of them couldn't hardly think anything, slobbering around every day. Hey, but look, there was a few of them that got encouraged. And Jesus said, what you've done for the least of one of these little ones of mine, you've done for me. Don't ever forget that, friend. Don't ever forget that. If you got time on your hands, find something the Lord wants you to do with it. If you've got time on your hands, find something the Lord wants you to do. There's plenty of work out there. There's plenty of work for everybody. And it says, statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And you know, that's what God wants us to be today. His people and be your God. But you know, I heard somebody say the other day that this country could get back to where it once was. Well, you know, that's a pretty tall order, Brother Mike. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Our founding forefathers, a lot of those people left the place. They left the place where bad things was happening. Ain't nobody wants to leave the United States. It was just kind of like DuPont, and I don't mind to say it on video. That C8 water about killed my wife. That was the start of it. See, they knew all about it. That's right, DuPont, Teflon. You know your cookware? That's what happened. It was the start of it. I knew it all along. I said, babe, you need to sue somebody. I'm not a big suing man. I said, you need to sue somebody. But she couldn't think. See, bad situation. Got into her internal organs. But let me tell you something. A lot of people know what they're doing in life. God ain't pleased. God ain't pleased with our country. Huh? The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why that happened, ain't it? That's why they gave everybody in the neighborhood $400 to go down and take your blood. And they had the tobacco companies behind them. That's why they done that. You can look it up on the internet. It's real. It's real. I had a sister I buried from the home church. She worked in Teflon, Washington, West Virginia. As soon as all that stuff started coming out, they shut Sister Sherry down and moved all them women out of Teflon. Deformed babies started coming out and all kinds of stuff. God knows. He knows. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're going to fast forward here for a little bit. Let's go on down to verse 36. No, let's go to 35. Ezekiel 36, 35. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Hey, can you imagine that? Remember, if I was ever jealous of anybody, I'm not a jealous person. But if I was ever jealous of anybody, it'd have to be Adam and Eve. My lands, they had a point and period of time. They got to walk around here on this planet with no sin. Kind of sounds like heaven, doesn't it, brother? Sounds a little bit like heaven, don't it? They had this time where they was able to sup with the Lord, this time that I look for. That time when I'll never say something that might hurt my wife's feelings or hurt somebody else's feelings or not be able to be what somebody thinks I should be or maybe not able to be or what I should be. But there'll come a day when I'll be with the Lord. I'll be forever with the Lord and it'll be perfect. And I long for that day. I long for that day when I can worship him in pure spirit, pure truth, not have any problems, not be a problem to anybody. I've said many times, I said, Lord, if I'm a stumbling block to anybody, just kill me. Take me home. I don't want to be a stumbling block to nobody nowhere. This is important business. The Lord's business, most important business you could ever have. Most important thing you could ever take care of. It says, about you I shall know, verse 35, of Eden and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. You know, in one place where it talked over there about, and I might get to it in a minute, but it talked about that we became a reproach, you know, amongst those people, but the Lord did it for his glory, for his cause. He loves us, but I'll tell you, we need not misrepresent the Lord either. He loves his children. He loves his people. He really does. But I tell you one thing, we need to be all we need to be for the Lord. We want people to look at us and see Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? That's what we want them to see. Nothing else but Jesus. And right there, verse 20. And it says, and when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, thou art my people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of this land. So when people proclaim something, we call it being hypocritical. We call it whatever you want. We need to be exactly what we say that we are. Children of the true and living God. Hopefully our lives can portray that. But wait a minute. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. We're going to make mistakes. But like that old woman said one time, I was preaching somewhere years ago, and some woman stood up and said, like I'm a rubber ball Christian or something. Somebody said, well, what's that? I said, every time the devil tries to knock me down, I just bounce back up in the name of Jesus. Many are the afflictions, my dear friends, of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver you every time if you'll let him. All of them. You're going to have trouble. It's part of life. And just because your brother or sister is having problems, we need not be like Job's friends. Huh? Well, that Job, he sure was a bad boy, wasn't he? Huh? Boy, at the end, they sure found out, didn't they? At the end of it all, that's why it says some that'll first will be last, and some that'll last will be first. At the end of Job's story, everybody found out who was really doing right, didn't they? Yeah, some of them people was pointing fingers. There were several pointing back at themselves, wasn't they? They said, oh, Lord, this man Job, you better go get Job to pray for you boys. Better go get Job to pray for you. Yeah. And it says, we'll try to finish up. I don't want everybody to leave on me. No, I'm just teasing. hey, somebody told me here a while back ago I was doing a funeral. You know what they told me? You need to make this short, Brother Phil. That's what they told me. I said, whoo, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Yeah, told me that. I said, I ain't no man pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. The Lord has me be here for 3 hours. That's what we'll be. Kind of long for a funeral, but that's what we'll be. Yeah, you don't need to please man. Man's not who you're looking to please down here. God's who you're looking to be pleasing with. You want to hear him say, well done, friend. Why? Because if you're about your Father's business, no longer are you a servant, but a friend. You can be a friend with God still yet today, friend. You can. Be about your Father's business. You can be a friend with him. And it says, become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. Hey, just like her thing, I told her right there, I said, hey, look, you need to write a book. Did I tell you that? I ain't looking for no show nor dough or fame nor fortune. But you know why? When you got a testimony, when you go through a test, it becomes a testimony. When you get a testimony, people's looking for hope everywhere, friends. They're looking for hope. We're living in a hopeless society. Why? Because people's got everything. They're like on a bumper pool table. They're bouncing from this, bouncing to that, bouncing to this, and they can't find no satisfaction. Remember somebody wrote a song, I can't get no satisfaction. I remember one of them old groups years ago, I can't get no satisfaction. That's what people's looking for. They can't get satisfied because it won't happen outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and his spirit and time in prayer. It won't happen anywhere else. Can't get it. It's not possible. It's not possible to get it anywhere else but through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. I think about the McCamey sing that song. You know the McCamey sing a song, anything God says when he says it's done. He put down your spirit things to do, didn't he, sister? You did them, and what happened? Things got better, didn't they? He put things down in people's spirit to do. Spiritual things. When you think, boy, I really know I need to be reading my Bible more and praying more and studying more. Well, you think the devil's telling you that? No. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you reading this word because it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He don't want you to spend an hour or two in prayer in the daytime because you might get down there and really get hooked up. And next thing you know, you're crying out for a lost and dying world. And God starts bringing people to you that you ain't thought about for 20 years. That's what he'll do. But you got to spend time with him. I'm trying to encourage you. This is what I try to do. I don't always hit the mark. But I try to spend much time with God. You know, when they preached Brother Jerry's funeral, a lot of people had a lot of kind things to say, and like Brother Don and a lot of these older preachers, a lot of people got kind things to say about them because they've helped multitudes of people through their ministries. They've helped them, right? But you know, one of the big things, I'll bet you if you ask my brother over there, he'd probably say, much time in prayer is one of the biggest things. That's what they'll tell you. The Morans of the world, these people, they have much time in prayer. Much time in prayer. And like the brother said this morning, it's not about what somebody else thinks or it's about what we do. Thank you. And it says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet, for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it, for then I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in the solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's the biggest thing about our walk with God, for people to know, just like those people that came in early of the morning, and they were drunk with, they thought they were drunk with wine. But they said, well, wait a minute. I've been with the Lord. I've not had too much wine. I'm just supping with Jesus. I'm having a good time of fellowship. I'm running down the road, and the Lord's just blessing the socks right off of me. It's amazing. And we can all have that fellowship if we'll just let him. Did you have something you need to say? Huh? Okay. So anyway, the point I wanted to bring out today is we're living in some perilous, troubled times. And the Lord, he's going to do it all for his glory. Sometimes, and I might have to preach that tonight, and I almost did this morning, but the Bible says, or the McCamey sang a song, you can be close to the cross and far from the blood. Standing at the feet of Jesus and never changed by his love. The love of God will change your heart, friend. It will. Saved or lost. It'll change you. It'll make you say, you know what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It'll mean something when it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You want to talk about him. Let me tell you, what a person loves the most, they'll talk about the most. They really will. Whatever you love the most, you'll talk about the most. I know years ago, my wife told me one time, and it's a shame, but she told me we were around a bunch of people, preaching people, and she said, some of those women said, man, how do you put up with him? Talking about me. Imagine him talking about me. Hurt my feelings. How do you stand that guy? All he talks about is Jesus. And guess what? When we get to heaven, we're all going to find out what we should have been talking about. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Think about it, friend. Think about it. Yeah, that's what it said. Sometimes you can get around people and they might say things and do things. I'm going to read one scripture and I'm going to quit. I always like to back up what I say, try to, in the best way that I can. Because it's all what's in my heart. You know, someone was talking, we were talking a while back ago, and we were talking about demonic realm. We don't talk a lot about that, but let me tell you this. Let me say this to you. Okay. So when you get to a point in your life, like somebody that's out there and they bale hay all day long, they're used to dealing with a black snake. That black snake comes out and boy, they see it and they just chop it up or do something and it's gone. Someone that's never seen a black snake, they're scared to death of it, ain't they? Huh? Woohoo! That'd be me. I don't like them either. So when you get into a realm where you deal with a lot of people that maybe aren't the most desirous ones to deal with, you come across different things that you might not see in the church too much. But it's a reality that is real. So when we go through this walk with the Lord, we try to encourage people to know and understand what we know and understand. Not saying that you're going to be in that realm where somebody's going to come across and growl at you like a dog. I hope that never happens to you. Or that you don't come across somebody that says, you can leave. You know, a woman. Pretty spooky, right? Yeah, it is. But it's real. It's real. So I try to encourage people that when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, listen. Don't get so mad at your brother or sister if they try to give you instruction or the people around you trying to help you. Get mad at the devil and serve the Lord. Sometimes people are just trying to help you. They see something. They're trying to help you get through the circumstance that you might be better off on the other side. But it says right here in Numbers 6 and 4, some of my favorite scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Wow. Pretty serious, isn't it? I don't think there's a time we're really not supposed to be talking about the Lord. Sometimes we have jobs, and I told someone the other day, I said, hey, you know what? In life, I have to talk to people about other situations than the Lord, although he is the answer to everything that amounts to anything that's going to last. He's the answer. I have to talk to people, but I really don't want to. I mean, I'd rather talk about the Lord. You know, he's my favorite subject. He's what I love the most. And because I love God, it makes me love you. And that's a wonderful thing to have. He has an unconditional agape love. It's unconditional. I try to be that way, but I seem to want to put conditions on things sometimes. People hurt your feelings. Like, nah, I don't really love it. Yeah, things happen sometimes, right? But really, that's what we need to try to have. Is that agape love? Yeah. Okay, if you need to test, go ahead. Go ahead, you can testify right there before I finish up. Go ahead. If you got something you need to say, you got something to tell.
Yeah, I just wanted to say.
You can sit here. Where you want?
When Brother Bell wrote that song, Whispering Voices, it was kind of like we knew what was going on. There was attacks on our marriage then, and that was probably 10 or 15 years ago that he wrote that song, Whispering Voices, and I think that it was relating to things that was influence our marriage. But how soon we forgot. And then my health. And I want to tell the story because I want to tell what God did for me. But today I want to tell what came out of it. I'm going to mention just a handful of diagnoses that I've been plagued with ever since our first 5 years of marriage. They were wonderful. But after the other five, we've been married for 20 years, it was always a troubling thing, but something great come out of it. First of all, Crohn's, I had fibromyalgia, I had a stroke, had a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is also known as an aneurysm, 2 brain surgeries, colon cancer, septic shock, 1 failed liver, a second liver transplant. They said I would have maybe 1 in a year. God gave me 2 livers in 1 month. And God did it all. And I'm here, and the devil tries to shut you up and tries to make you think, oh, you get your words mixed up a lot. Don't get up there and say anything. You're going to look like a fool. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And I was in that hospital for a long time. Probably in and out for almost a month. And you know what? When I was there, there was sometimes I was in a coma. I call it a hole. I was in a hole. But I'm going to tell you what came out of it. Jesus was there supping with me. He never left me. My conversations was with him. My songs was with him. My words was with him. My jokes were with him. He was with me in my hole. That's what I call it. I was in a hole. But like I said before, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And what came out of it is 3 things. And like just like Brother Phil said, I like a different type of science. And I follow these science guys. And the one guy was a scientist, and he was an atheist. And he started studying Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and one other biblical language. And he discovered that in DNA that he had been studying, the first line of everyone's DNA says God within eternally. And in those languages. And that is one of the things that I repeatedly said. I said, God is within me. They cannot kill God. They cannot kill me. God within eternally. And I said it, and I said it over and over again. But the times that I spent with God is priceless. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. All those diagnoses, I'd do them all again to get the closeness that I have with the Lord. The second thing, there's 3 things. The second thing is I did have an out-of-body experience. I was standing floating above my body, and I said, man, there's a lot of people working on me. But I'm going to tell you what, I call it the waiting room, because over here was my grandparents. They were over here, and they wouldn't look at me. They were looking past me, and I just wanted to get over there to see them. I felt so much love. There is not even a word for love. When I was in the waiting room, there was no condemnation. God wasn't mad at me. I didn't feel any pain. It was nothing but pure love. That's another thing that came out of it. And all of a sudden, I heard a little baby say, and I had a baby, and her name was Julissa, after me and my sister. I heard a child say, there's 10,000 angels here, you just can't see them. And that's when I wasn't in the waiting room no more, and I don't remember nothing else. But the third thing is that when I came out of it, I said, God brought me through all this, and I'm a nurse, I know. Like, I was a hospice nurse. So even as I was going through all the stuff that I was going through, I'm doing my chart, and I'm thinking, girl, this is, I can predict it, like, this is coming close. This is coming close. I'm assessing myself. So finally, I said, you know what? What is my calling? What is my calling? I have to do something. I took piano lessons and played a little bit in church when I was young. I can't play the piano. My little baby brother is the music director and everything in our home church. So I said, well, I can't sing. Brother Phil can sing. So what can I do? You know what I mean? What is my calling? What am I supposed to do? I said, big or small, it don't matter to me, Lord. But you know what I figured out? My calling is the posture of my heart in every situation with every person. The posture of my heart is my calling with every person and in every situation. And I praise God and give him all praise, honor, and glory for everything that he's done for me. Pray for me and my strength that I can do all that my Father has called me to do. Thank you for listening. Love the Lord. He's done so much for me. He did it all.
Thank you. I don't know what to say about that, but hallelujah. That's all I can tell you. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. He's been good to us. And so, to sum up, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. I'll raise him up in the last day. If you're here and lost, you need to seek the Lord. This is not a joke. It's not a game. Serious business. Serious business. If you need to be saved by the grace of God, you need to seek him while he may be found. You need to call upon him while he is near. Most important thing you could ever take care of. And if you're here today and you're saved, you really need to do whatever the Lord tells you to do, whether in the congregation of the saints or outside the four walls. I tend to want to tell people sometimes, and I tend to want to believe that this is true. Usually if you're not cultivating your gift in the house of God, chances are you're not cultivating it much outside the house of God. What do I mean by that? Chances are, if you're not able to feel the freedom in the Spirit to stand and testify for the Lord in the house of God, you may not be doing it outside the house of God. And it's the most important thing that you need to be taken care of. Does that mean everybody testifies every service? Hey, if you wanted to, I'd be glad to stay here with you. I love to hear about salvation experience. I do. I mean, I'm just being honest. It excites me. Other than seeing somebody get saved, it's seeing God's people testify. It thrills my soul, makes me cry, laugh, sing. It really does. It brings great joy to my heart. Those are people like me that go through the same struggles and trials and tribulations that I go through. And it encourages me to hear them talk about the goodness of God. Not only from the preachers. Yeah, some of the best talks is just come from little old men, little old women, whoever. Children. I love to hear children too. But anyways. So remember that, you know. Keep the Lord close to your heart. So remember, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to God first must believe that he is. You got to believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I always put on, because there's people all over watch these things, you know, the emptiness. You always see me do this. Because, and the reason I do this is 99.9% of the people that I come across
I mean, I talk to him every day, all day long. Sometimes I do a game with myself. I might talk to 15 people in a day and ask them. I tell people this all the time because it's true. You know, I say, hey, I talked to 15 people today. 14 of them didn't know what that emptiness was right there in their soul. Isn't that sad? These are people that are walking around us every day, right here in America. You don't have to go overseas somewhere to find them. They're right here. And they don't know what they're looking for. They really don't. Co-workers, people at your school, wherever, they don't know. We're a blessed people. So the Bible says, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. So man wants to have an understanding about something, then he can have faith in it. But God wants you to leap out in faith just like she did. I try to do. Everybody that stands for the Lord, we try to leap out in faith, the testimonies, and let God take care of it. Remember, he told him one time, he said, when you go before kings and governors and all these people, remember he told those disciples, don't worry about what. I'll give you the words to say. You just stand up and open your mouth and I'll tell you what to say. Let the Spirit lead you. Yeah. Let the Spirit have his way in your life. Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, so are the sons of God. It's a humbling thing for me to just be able to try to stand up. Sometimes people think you might have something together. I really don't. When I say I'm a nobody that knows somebody that loves everybody, that's really who I am. I love people because God loved me. And he left that desire in my heart. Thankfully did. Got a desire to see people saved. So we got a song. We got a song. Let's have a song. Song of invitation. Anybody need to pray? Anything you need to do? Pray, people, pray. We need to pray. And seek the Lord if you need to.